All right, Fritz Berger and bloodandfaith.com. It's the 26th of September, 2021. This is the after show. This is the show after the Sunday morning sermon. Talked about Acts 14 through 18 this morning. And talked about the eternal enmity between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. If you want to understand the history of the world, if you want to understand Christianity, if you want to understand Jesus Christ, you have to have this foundational rock in your kit. You know, just like you have to have the understanding that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. You have to understand that God made a man and a woman. You have to understand that God said, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You have to understand that Adam and Eve sinned and they fell. They left perfection and they fell, and corruption entered in, and entropy took its course. All right, we don't evolve upwards, we devolve downwards. Sin takes over and corrupts. Part of this is you must understand that there was enmity introduced between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. Enmity is a deep-seated hatred. If you don't understand that, you're going to be lost. It's like not understanding that God destroyed the old world in a great flood, or not understanding that he created the heavens and the earth and he made it perfect, and we've gone downhill since then. It's a foundational principle. And we see the manifestation of that enmity throughout the life of Jesus Christ, and certainly in the book of Acts, continues to this day. Only reason people don't recognize it is they've probably already surrendered. They've probably already surrendered to the seed of the serpent. And I think that's the case of the church, absolutely the case of the church. They don't even recognize it. And they think it's their job to get along with everybody and have peace and love and harmony. And it was God that put the enmity in there. It wasn't mankind. God put it there. It's not Fritz stirring it up. God put the enmity there. I just recognize it. And if you want to read the Gospels, you'll recognize the enmity. Read the book of Acts, you'll recognize the enmity. So what's going on in the United States in September of 2021? Well, things continue apace. You know, once upon a time, a bunch of us were hoping that things were going to get turned around. They've gone downhill in the last several years. You know, people had hope under the previous presidential administration, but he was never to be the hero and the savior. We have a savior. We have a leader. I've referred to him as Rebel Leader Number One. Somebody asked me the other day, well, who's Rebel Leader Number One? Are you in a secret plot to overturn the government? And I said, no. No, I'm not that interesting and I'm not that important. I'm just some dude, man. I'm just a dude. Rebel leader number one is Jesus Christ, all right? He's been the rebel against Satan's forces, well, since forever. And he's the Son of God. And he came in as certainly the underdog 2,000 years ago. And they murdered him, they killed him, and he rose from the dead, all right? So you can't beat the Son of God. You can't beat Jesus Christ. You may think you can. You may try to, and you certainly read in the history of the Bible that there's lots of forces trying to destroy what God's doing in the world. And that's okay. Knock yourself out, man. Knock yourself out. At the end of the day, rebel leader number one always wins because he's the Son of God. He's the creator of all. He's the heir of all creations, and he will rule the nations of the world with a rod of iron. It's very simple. So the devil can do what he wants to do. Hey, the devil can even kill the Son of God. His seed, the devil's seed, can kill the Son of God. Guess what? He rose from the dead. All right? The devil's seed can go out there and they can try to stop the preaching of the gospel. They murdered Stephen. Guess what? It keeps going. All of Europe was converted. Becomes Christendom. So yeah, we're in 2021. Things are really bad in the old Christendom, the late Christendom. Whether you're in Australia or New Zealand or North America or Europe, things are really bad. And I think somebody's trying to get our attention. We are either going to go back and return to our rightful king, our rightful Lord, the non-Jew, Jesus Christ, the non-Jew, and we're going to serve him, and he'll be our banner. He'll be our Lord. He's the captain of the Lord's hopes. He's the captain of the Lord's hosts. He's the captain of the army. He's the captain of all the angels. And there's great hope in that. He wants his people to wake up. I have a yearning that the European peoples would wake up and return to the non-Jew, Jesus Christ. Father of Jesus Christ was not a Jew, not in any way, shape, or form. Father of Jesus Christ is God Almighty. His mother, Mary, is a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and David. I don't know that you can say that she's Jewish. She followed the faith of her fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. She didn't follow the Jews. The Jews were apostate. Jews left God Almighty, absolutely left the faith, left the prophets, left the law, created their own religion, created their own precepts and traditions. The Bible says that. I mean, go read about Paul. Paul says, I was advanced in the traditions of our fathers. They created their own side religion. Yeah, we got the law, we got the prophets, but, you know, we're going to follow the oral traditions passed down from Moses, which didn't exist. They made it up themselves. And then it could be what, you know, maybe, I'm sure Moses said something. I'll correct that a little bit. But what's written is what's written. What God said is what God said. And so you can't say, oh, you know, 1,000 years later, we're going to twist the traditions to mean something that utterly isn't there. And Jesus Christ pointed out very, very specifically when the Pharisees went to him and says, why don't your disciples follow the traditions of the elders? Jesus Christ didn't make excuses. He looked him, stared him down. He says, why do you break the law of God in order to elevate your traditions? And that's an eternal principle as well. And we fight against it. We struggle against it. Galatians warns against that. Hebrews warns against that. Jesus Christ said, don't listen to the doctrine of the Pharisees. And the church tries to create these traditions that make the scriptures mean something they don't. For example, when's the last time you heard anybody preach that the Jews crucified and murdered Jesus Christ? I don't know. A generation? Two generations? Doesn't exist anymore. Simply doesn't exist anymore. We have this tradition that the Jews are God's chosen people. No, they are not. If they were, why was there such enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent? Yes, Jesus Christ came to save the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but there was a deep-seated hatred and enmity between Jesus Christ and the Jewish leadership. Go read Romans chapter 8. And I'm not going to stop talking about that, because this is an example where the church is lifted up their own traditions above the Word of God. Another one is the whole homosexual flag in front of these churches. I'm over here in D.C., and every church I walk by has got a homosexual flag in front of it, the rainbow flag. The rainbow was God's promise not to destroy the earth again in a flood. He gave the rainbow to Noah and his children, saying, hey, never again will I destroy the entire earth in a flood. Not a portion of the earth, but the entire earth. So that's just another reason why the whole idea that there was not a universal flood is false. There was a universal flood, and the whole earth was destroyed except those in the ark. Now, there's floods all the time. God didn't say, I'm not going to send a flood. He says, I'm not going to send a flood to destroy the entire earth like I did before. And the sign and the seal for that was the rainbow. And here you got the seed of the serpent inverting that. So we're going to take the rainbow for ourselves. So there's a war on, and the Christian does not have a choice. You're either going to side with one side or the other. You're going to be with the seed of the serpent or the seed of the woman. You don't have a choice. Okay, the 12 disciples had to make that choice. Judas made a choice to side with the seed of the serpent. Sorry about all these S's. And, he took his 30 pieces of silver, had peace with the people in charge, and he went his way. The church today has got the same choice. Got to make the same choice. And people are making different choices. Every day they make different choices. And that's okay. That there's the great sorting out is happening now. All right? This whole soft middle is gone, is utterly gone. You're going to side with the seed of the serpent or the seed of the woman? That's what this is about. And the pressure will grow and grow and grow and grow. You don't think there was pressure on the early disciples? You don't think there was pressure in the book of Acts? You don't think there was pressure on Peter when he stood up and gave his first sermon at Pentecost? He just watched Jesus Christ being crucified. He just watched John the Baptist be murdered. You don't think he had pressure? He had a choice to make. He probably knew he was going to die. He probably said, you know what, I know I'm going to die, but I'm going to make my choice. I'm going to make my choice. And he stood up, he preached a great sermon. 3,000 Jews got water baptized that day. 3,000 Jews got baptized, born again and baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, converted them. All right, and he preaches again, the second sermon, same thing. He said, y'all killed Jesus Christ. Again, another 8,000 are added. Then along comes Stephen. Stephen's going, well, let's give this a shot. Stephen preaches and they murder him. All right, and you read about Paul and Peter and Barnabas, and all throughout the book of Acts, their lives are at risk because there's a war between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. All right, and the church today seems to think they can get along and have peace and have unity and get along with the seed of the serpent, and we're all one, and God loves us, and God loves the homosexuals, and this all this garbage. It's garbage. All right, there's the seed of the woman, and there's the seed of the serpent. God introduced the enmity there at the very beginning. Church, you need to figure out which side you're on. Figure out which side you're on. I don't care. But there's no longer the luxury of being in the middle. There's a whole lot of would-be Christians. I call them Judeo-Christians. And they've sided with the seed of the serpent. Oh, I could never be against God's chosen. It's like they've never read the Gospels. They've never read the relationship that Jesus Christ had with the Jews. All right, so we're still in a time of great consternation. It's just going to keep getting worse. Is there any hope? Oh, of course there's hope. Of course there's hope. There's great hope. There's a story in the Bible. I'm not going to quote you chapter and verse on it, but the king is completely surrounded by the enemy. There's no way. There's just absolutely no way he's going to make his way out of it. It's so bad that the king's servant is there and he's taunting them. He's taunting them. He's saying, who do you guys think you are? Do you really think your God's going to save you? How many nations have I conquered and destroyed and utterly subjugated before me? Do you really think you're something special? Your God sent me to destroy you. And there was no hope. There's no way the nation of Israel had the ability to resist that. So the king goes, he cries out to God. He says, God, you know, why? Why? They're taunting us. Answer comes back through the prophet. Said, don't, just watch this. Hold my beer and watch this. Okay? God says, hold my beer, watch this. And all of a sudden there's a war in a different part of the world. And they had to take off. All right, there's all kinds of ways God can turn this around. But one of the things that he's waiting for his church to cry out to him and say, God, you know, you are our king, you are our master, you are our ruler, you are our monarch. Save us. And the question is, are we going to side with the seed of the serpent? Or are we going to exalt Jesus Christ as king and Lord, as monarch? We need to build a Christian nation here in North America. We will not surrender one square foot of land to the seed of the serpent. We're not going to do that. We're not going to surrender. God did not give us permission to surrender the United States of America or Canada to the seed of the serpent. He didn't give us permission to do that. He created this land for his people, for a Christian people. And you're going to have to figure out which side of this battle you're on. You want to live in Babel? I got it. You want to live in Babel? Imagine all the Hebrews that were over in Babylon during their captivity. And they said, hey, I'm good, man. I'm good. Just leave me alone. You want me to bow down and worship your obelisk out in the plain? Hey, I'll bow down. I just want to do my thing. Three men stood up and said, oh, no. Oh, no. No, 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 no. We will not bow down. All right, God's looking for those people. He's looking for the people that are not going to bow down in order to get along with the seed of the serpent. And we're in that phase where people are having to make decisions. All right, you don't go through life and make decisions when you don't need to, because we're just men. We're just flesh. We're made of dust. We're weak. All right? I'm not any different than the other guy out there. Not any different than y'all. You don't make decisions until you're forced to, especially men. Because why would you, right? Why would you? So the pressure's coming up, and now we got to make choices. My hope and my prayer is that we start making choices. I pray for the revival of European man. I pray for the revival of European man, that we would return to the legacy of our ancestors, that we would turn to our non-Jew monarch, Jesus Christ, who can save us from the seed of the serpent. All right, that's enough for now. Fritz Bergen, after show, bloodandfaith.com. See you soon.